I was listening to a podcast episode where they were talking about controlling your emotions by talking to the elephant. I was intrigued and pondered this more over the next several days. It tied in perfectly with the Bible study my women's group was doing, so I prepared some talking points as a session opener for the group. Being a thermostat instead of a thermometer is really important to me, and it's something that I've been trying to do since my daughters were in elementary school. I learned how to manage my emotions during that season and thought it was now second nature, but I've come to realize lately that I need reminders often because I'm facing different emotions and honestly a lot more hormones now. So the reminders in this episode are as much for me as they are for you. I hope that these talking points that I use with my women's group help you during your season of transition too. Before we dive into what it means to talk to the elephant, I want to take a step back and make sure that we're all on the same page and give you a little background about how the brain works. So we have a part of our brain called the amygdala, and this is a really important part of our brain because it is what allows us to be aware of our surroundings. We notice when things change, and when that happens, it helps us to recognize, is this normal? Is this something that I should be expecting? Or is this something out of the ordinary and I need to pay attention? When that happens and we say, oh, I need to pay attention to this, and we say, is this dangerous? Is this a threat to me? That puts us into that fight, flight, freeze, or faint mode. This is an important part of daily living so that we stay safe. The problem is that the majority of the time, the situation does not call for our amygdala to go all crazy. That's when we need to re-engage our prefrontal cortex. That's our thinking or logical brain. That's what allows us to address the situation, look around, say, you know what, it's okay. There's nothing I need to be anxious about. Everything's fine. The problem is that our amygdala wants to take over and wants to be in control. As we transition into thinking about talking to the elephant, let's connect those two terms with this analogy. The elephant is like our amygdala. It is this big animal. It has its own desires and urges, and the rider on the elephant is like our prefrontal cortex. It knows where the elephant should go. It knows what to, how to direct it, where it wants it to go, but it's not always in control because the elephant is this big, strong animal, and it's really smart enough to know to go where it wants to go. So the rider has some control, but not much. The points that we're talking about with the elephant and the amygdala come from a book called Talk to the Elephant, Design Learning for Behavior Change. This was about an instructional design concept and how we need to create learning experiences that allow us to put the amygdala into a safe space. The context was different, but we can still apply the principles to our lives. Too often, we try to reason with the rider, our prefrontal cortex. We might try to tell ourselves, it's okay, it's fine, we don't need to be worried. But brute strength, or just talking to the rider, is not as effective because the amygdala is in control. So what can we do? If we can't talk to the rider, and we need to talk to the elephant, how would we do that? Well, I thought of four steps that I take when I'm trying to talk to my elephant, trying to calm myself down, and I'm going to share these four steps with you. And then when you get into a situation that your amygdala has taken control, you can remind yourself, I'm going to talk to the elephant, and remember these steps. So the first one is that we need to shore up our physical and mental conditioning. This is probably not a new concept to you. You need to be exercising, eating well, taking appropriate medication and supplements, and getting sleep. You've probably heard that advice before. The reality is that that really does matter. When we are able to exercise, we allow our body to move, to process things. And when you're exercising, your body is releasing hormones that can help you regulate your emotions and regulate your hormones. And it really helps put you into a better position to calm the amygdala when it does get activated. Same thing for nutrition, supplements. If you need medication to help you manage your anxiety, there's no shame in doing that. I've also noticed that when I don't have enough sleep, I do get more anxious. And it is all this vicious cycle that if I'm not sleeping well, I'm more anxious, and then I'm not sleeping well. And so it kind of snowballs. So I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but those four things can make a big difference. The second step is that we want to increase control over our elephant or our amygdala through training. I was reading a book called Elephant Company, and it was about Billy Williams and how he was an elephant man. He worked with the teak companies in India, and he was getting to know the elephants. He was observing them, learning their behaviors. And when he saw how they were treated and tamed, he didn't really like that. But he noticed that some of the young elephants that were brought up next to their mothers naturally picked up what was happening and what they needed to do and what was expected of them. He created an elephant school for them. He had a way of training them so that they would obey the commands, they would know what to expect, that they would be actually better workers than wild elephants that they then had to tame. So the elephants are incredibly smart, and they were incredibly tameable and trainable, but they had to go to elephant school. So let's have an elephant school for our brains. We can call it what it is. There's a phrase that is often used, name it to tame it. When we name the emotion or we describe what is happening, it removes some of the power from that emotion. It takes some of the control away from it. It allows you to re-engage your prefrontal cortex as you are thinking and you're saying, you know what I think this is? And even if you can't actually name it, even the act of thinking about it helps you to call into action your thinking brain. I also have an emotions chart that I like to use whenever I just can't figure out what's going on and I know I'm feeling something. I'll look at the chart and figure out what it is that I'm feeling. And I'll look through all the words and just see what resonates with me. I'll leave a link in the show notes to the Thermostat Approach Toolkit, and you can find that chart in that toolkit. The next thing that you can do is ride the wave of the emotion. Your emotion is a chemical. It is real. It's really happening in your body, but it only lasts about 6 seconds. So I would encourage you to not stuff it down, not pretend that it's not happening, because it really is happening. Allow yourself to experience the emotion. And I know it's hard, and it's especially hard if you are a highly sensitive person and those emotions are really hard for you. The more you practice, the more you can lean in to riding that wave. You can use some breathing strategies. You can just practice allowing that to happen. And it's never easy, but you can do it. But don't stay stuck, because like I said, that chemical only lasts about 6 seconds. So after you ride the wave of the emotion, what I like to do next is to provide a distraction for myself. I get busy doing something. It's like changing the channel on the TV, or I know we don't actually get up and change a channel anymore, but changing the music that you're listening to. Anytime that you're changing something, it's forcing your brain to think about what is going on. So you could do something physical. You could go for a walk. You could dance. You could have a punching bag that you're punching at or kicking at. You could do something mental. You could get yourself engaged in a project. What my daughters and I often do is have something pre-identified so we don't have to figure out what to think about. We might recall a Bible verse. We might call up one or two things that we are grateful for that day. You could also listen to praise songs. And this, you can actually combine the two. When I am really anxious, I like to turn on a praise playlist and actually have it so loud that they drown out my thoughts. Now, I know that that could overwhelm you if you are highly sensitive and you're really sensitive to the noises. So you need to find what works for you. But for me, that allows me to literally, I can't think of anything else except for the songs. So while the praise songs are playing, I might either be dancing, I might be swaying, but I'm engaging my brain so that I provide that distraction. And then I'll ask for help. I'll pray to God. I'll talk to my friends and ask them to help pray. Again, because we're naming this, whether it is through silent prayer, out loud prayer, or to friends, we are naming what is going on, which removes some of that power. And then the fourth step, after you have talked to your elephant and worked on these strategies, is to show yourself grace. The elephant is big and strong. You may not always be able to control it the first time. Your rider, your prefrontal cortex, may not be able to get your amygdala back in control. That's okay. Breathe deeply. I need to find someone to help remind you to take a deep breath. Tell your family or your friends or your children, if they're old enough, that if they see you really stressed out, to just remind you to take a deep breath. I need the frequent reminders, and so do my girls. Sometimes my daughter will call from college and she's all worked up about something, whether it's legitimate or not, she'll be worked up. And the first thing I'll do before I even have any more conversation about it is just say, take a deep breath. And we've done this enough now that it wakes her up, sort of, and she's okay and takes that deep breath. And then we can start talking about what's bothering her. I probably won't do all of these steps all at once until you are in the habit and it's easier, comes second nature. But choose one that you can begin doing and add more as it feels automatic. Know that this is something new. You're going to have to provide some training. It's kind of like the elephant school. Remind yourself, my amygdala is back at elephant school and I need to practice this. It's not going to happen overnight. We can use this strategy when we are anxious, scared, angry, jealous. Anytime that we have an emotion that is controlling us in a way we really don't want it to be. I would encourage you to think about what situations are causing strong emotions for you right now. And what is one way that you want to start talking to your elephant? As I mentioned, you can go deeper into this if you download the Thermostat Approach Toolkit. And I'd be happy to work with you if you want to schedule a strategy session to create your personalized talk to your elephant plan. Maybe we need to think through the things that you want to be thinking about or who could be helping you with your strategies. There's a link in the show notes for you to be able to schedule that strategy session coaching call. As we wrap up today, remember that your story is not finished. You may be wrapping up this chapter, but your next chapter is just beginning. And as you have big emotions related to this next chapter, they don't have to control you. Thanks for joining me on the Purposeful Impact podcast. I pray that today's episode blessed you and that you found encouragement and practical tips. If so, would you share this episode with someone else so that they can be blessed too? I'd also appreciate it if you would take 30 seconds and leave a rating and review in your podcast app. Leaving a review helps other homeschool parents find the podcast and know if it's a good fit for them. Thanks so much for helping to spread the word.